Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are again, program number 20. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota, calling down to Texas and Dallas-Fort Worth area, and hoping that I've got some listeners again this morning. And this morning, let's get right into Paul again, our apostle. And Paul is the one that we find out about the risen Savior. And let's look to some of these words. Today, let's look at the fact that Christ did meet with Paul face to face. And that's an important aspect of being an apostle, of course. The other 12, of course, they saw him face to face. That's what the Gospels are. But Paul, what about him? If he hasn't seen Christ face to face, then he's not an apostle. And he says in 1 Corinthians 9:1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So, Paul asks, okay, if I'm not an apostle, am I not an apostle? I mean, I've seen the Lord. That's what we're going to find out here this morning. First of all, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and here's what Paul has to say to you and to me. Verse 1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That's Paul's fear, is that we would get caught up in a false doctrine, in another person who's teaching a different Jesus, different teachings from Jesus, even because it's all prepping for the Antichrist. Teaches another spirit, which it says here, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. In other words, they'll be talking about a spirit that you can receive. You really didn't receive it. It's just all baloney talk. You know, he says here, even another gospel, which you have not accepted. And he's just afraid that you'll bear with that person. That's Paul's biggest concern. He even says, you know, bear with me a little in my folly. You remember Festus? Festus said that, you know, Paul, you're mad. I mean, what makes it so mad? What makes us so crazy? I mean, Jesus Christ died and rose again. In those days, that never happened before. Oh, by the way, and it's never happened again since. All these stories about people that die and come back, that's bogus to the max, but I guess that's another bunny trail we can stay away from. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And they'll be able to be there for the first thing they're going to see is their judgment seat or the white throne judgment. They're not going to see this pretty little light and then come back. That's just bogus stuff. But anyway, that's just more of those things that Paul's afraid people are going to follow. Then he says in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So is that Paul? Is Paul transforming himself into an apostle of Christ? Is that the concern people have? Well, it's been in this Bible for 400 years, and his teachings about the goodness of God. If Paul is a false apostle and a false teacher and a deceitful worker, then he's teaching us about a goodness of God that doesn't exist because he's the only one that talks about that. So, and it says in verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Can you imagine Satan teaching the stuff that Paul teaches? That Christ is risen? About imputation, spiritual circumcision, as we call it? All these different things that are fantastic, the unsearchable riches of Christ, an understanding? Satan's going to teach these things? He's going to teach about how wonderful the risen Savior is and what he's done not only for us, but to us? Satan's going to teach that? I don't think so. Like I said, it's been in this Bible for these 400 plus years, and that's one proof to me. The other proof to me is there's so many people that are against it. You know, people in their flesh are always against the truth. And the fact that everybody uses born again, everybody uses all the different church denominations, united by prayer and love and ecumenicalism and all this kind of stuff, and the Antichrist has come, so the whole world has to come together with religion. That all makes sense to me. Does that not make sense to you? The fact that this King James Bible is not a threat to the devil, unless it's rightly divided. And that's where rightly dividing the word of truth comes into play. That's what the devil doesn't want you to get a hold of. So you've got these false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In fact, I had a missionary one time come through to us back in the state of Washington, and he literally believed that he was an apostle. He was a modern-day apostle. He said that. I said, seriously? You really, you know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and those guys, and then you got Paul, then we got you? Whatever. Then it says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it says, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So ministers of righteousness, well, they certainly are going to preach the righteousness of God being imputed to us based on faith, our faith and his faith. So they're ministers of the law, ministers of doing the right thing based on the gospel law, now based on the Beatitudes and Jesus' teaching to the Jews, because they had to follow the law still. Christ came and fulfilled the law, but those guys had to do the same thing too, or sacrifice some blood somewhere. So that's my take. No great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. We've got all these people preaching in the pulpits in America today. They're preaching man's righteousness to please God, and God will bless you. And they got it just totally backwards. Pretty hard accusation, but that's what it is. And Timothy even says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And do you remember Alexander the coppersmith? When Paul met him, Alexander the coppersmith, he said, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So we go back and we see in verse 15 here, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What are we talking here, their works? Well, remember, when you are lost, based on Ephesians chapter 2, you are dead in sins. You haven't been quickened. Your works are full of sin, and you're attached to your sin. You're attached to your works. You will burn right along with your works. Revelation and 2 Thessalonians. But if you are saved following the risen Savior through Paul, well, we are dead to sin. They are dead in sins. We are dead to sin. Totally different things. So we won't be judged according to our works. Our works will be judged, but we won't be. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, judgment seat of Christ. It's that simple. So, let's go to Galatians. With that thing in mind about Paul being concerned about another spirit and another gospel, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, where he says in verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. There's people that quit and give up on this stuff. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. I mean, they say it's another gospel, but it really isn't another gospel. It's just baloney. It's bogus. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Remember, the gospel of Christ is the risen Savior gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven, that would be Revelation, preaching the everlasting gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, that's from Paul, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this morning, in the goodness of God, let's see the fact that Christ went and visited and talked directly to Paul. Let's see where he talks about that. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, Got to start with the scene on the road there. Acts chapter 9. It turned out that it was the Lord, it was Jesus Christ, meeting with Paul right there in the road. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So he's having his first face-to-face with Paul. Well, certain things happened, and he had to go home, and he was blinded. He had to talk to Ananias. Later on in verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So, there's the first sighting. So let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me." You'd have to look at the context of the whole chapter, but his statement is, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and ministry, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." Let's go to Acts 26. Just a few pages over. Acts 26, verse 15. Acts 26 is his testimony to King Agrippa again. This is what Paul says Jesus told him on the road there to Acts chapter 9. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" in verse 15. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which," that's future, "in the which I will appear unto thee." So, when Jesus talked to Paul on the road, he says, "Listen, you and I are going to get together again in the future, and we're going to talk about these things. I'm going to teach you some things." Okay? So, that's Acts 26. Let's go back to Acts 22 again here. Acts 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. "And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one," capital J, capital O, so we know who that's referring to, "and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." So, he heard the voice of his mouth. That means Jesus spoke directly to Paul. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. Let's go back up here to verse 6. "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once." This is after Christ died and rose again, "of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." So Paul wasn't an apostle during the time of Jesus on this earth. He was the chosen apostle, and he met with Christ after he had risen. The other guys had seen him too, but this is where Paul spoke to him one-on-one, face-to-face, so he's got that distinction, that even after Christ died and rose again, Christ went to Paul only and said, "Here's what I want you to do to the Gentiles." Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Let's start right at verse 1. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." It's Paul speaking. Then he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." And it makes it sound like Paul is talking about somebody else. But as we read through this, you will see that he's talking about himself. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth." That was verse 3. "How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Then verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." See, so he's talking about himself. But he's saying, listen, if there was somebody that did this, Man, I would glory about that. That's fantastic. But he says, but of myself, I will not glory. But we should be willing to glory that Paul was able to visit with the risen Savior and pass what he was told unto us. Okay, as a quick thought. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Over just a couple slippy little pages here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote above, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. While in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then he goes on and on and on. That was Paul. Paul met with Christ face to face. There's no doubt about it. The scriptures prove it. And we just have to believe the scriptures for what they say. Okay, so now that we've determined that Christ really did meet with Paul face to face, let's look at just some various verses in by themselves that tell us that Paul is the minister, the apostle to the Gentiles, and he is the one that we should look to. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, that's through Paul, which was kept secret since the world began. That's the preaching we're supposed to be hearing is through Paul. If we go to Acts 28, verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, that's the spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom, spiritual kingdom, Romans 14, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. We could look at 15, I guess. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, and that's the Gentiles when it's referring to heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. People like to take the word heathen and apply it to a lost person. Well, let's be more specific. The word heathen is referring to a Gentile. Yes, it's a lost Gentile, but still, we can't just say a lost person. We have to make sure that we talk about the Jews and the Gentiles and the difference. So when you see the word heathen, Paul was to preach him, the Son, who's revealed in Paul, that I might preach him among the heathen, referring specifically to the Gentiles. Okay? That's Galatians 1, verse 16. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for Paul. Pray for the preachers that's teaching this material. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, we can put that right onto a King James Bible. Because that's where Paul's mouth is opened. That's where the Spirit of God works with people, through that King James Bible. Not through music, not through feelings and that sort of thing. To make known the mystery of the gospel. That's Paul's ministry, Ephesians chapter 3 as well as chapter 6, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. He's always had troubles. People have always hated him. And yet it says that therein I may speak boldly. Okay? Philippians 4:9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul, he says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Not the peace of God, but the God of peace. Think about that one. Let's go down to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Them which should hereafter believe on him, that's us. So Paul is our pattern. Not to imitate Paul, but to learn from and follow. He is our pattern. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. See, we hear all the time not to be ashamed of Jesus. But what preacher and pastor talks about not being ashamed of Paul either? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of Paul. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And what he's teaching to the Gentiles is what the risen Savior wants us to be taught. Paul is not to teach the Jesus stuff that was given to the Jews. He talks about the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then here's a knockout verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. You want to have an understanding? Do you really want to understand what's going on? Do you really want your eyes open to an understanding? Paul says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So if we study Paul, we consider what Paul says, we'll get an understanding in all things. And I'm telling you, that's true. But people tell people everything nowadays, and people tend to believe them, so whatever. But Paul does say, your scriptures, your Bible, if you have a King James Bible, does say, consider what I say, that's Paul, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You want an understanding? Rightly divide your King James Bible, look to Paul for what your teachings are to you, and look at Genesis to Revelation and find out about things past, present, and future. Fantastic book, but it's not all written to you, but it is all there for you. Concentrate your reading and studies on what's written to you, because that's what your judgment seat of Christ will be based on. Jesus Christ will be our judge of our works, and those works better be based on what Paul taught, not what Jesus taught to the Jews. So as we close out this program this morning, let me give you three more places you can just sit back, put your feet up, go outside, sit on your deck or your porch, or sit down by the river where you're fishing, or whatever, whip out your little pocket Bible, King James, of course. Any Bible you want, but you won't get what you need to get out of there. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20. That's the story of how Paul got started. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20. If you read Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 21, that's Paul's testimony he gave to the Jews themselves. Acts 22, 1 to 21. And then Acts chapter 26 is his personal testimony he gave a chest. And he was happy to do so, we said. He was happy to do that. His personal testimony to King Agrippa. And then also, keep this in mind. As you go through the book of Acts, just remember that the rest of Paul's books, Romans and Philemon, were all written somewhere during Acts chapter 9 to the end. This is what I mean. Acts chapter 17 and 18, that was a time when Paul was writing Thessalonians. Acts chapter 19 to 20, Paul was writing 1 Corinthians. Acts chapter 14, from say about 27 verses on, he was writing Galatians. Acts chapter 20 and 21, he was writing 2 Corinthians and Romans. Acts 26 to 28, he was in prison, and he was writing Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And after prison, he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And that gives a little bit of a flavor, understanding that, why he would say some of the things he does. Sometimes Paul is preaching to Gentiles, but there are Jews in the crowd. And if we had the time to point that out, we could point that out. Maybe sometime we will. Galatians, for example, he's talking about the law quite a bit. Well, who would he be? Even though he's talking to the Gentiles, there's Jews in that crowd, in that Galatians crowd, and he's still trying to reach to them. And then there's some things that take place in 1 and 2 Corinthians that makes you think, well, why can't we do those things today? Paul did them then. Well, there's another key verse that we'll talk about. I'll give you the verses, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10, and a couple more verses after that. That is probably one of the most important verse references in the whole entire Bible, dealing with the King James Bible. We'll talk about that. We might take that one on next week, but this is the end of the week. We hope to see you and talk. Here we go. Hope to talk to you again next Monday. Have a good weekend, and I hope you have a good time. I hope you get some good rain down there somewhere. I know there's a massive drought going on, and I know you're hot, and I'm sure I've been down there. The humidity is more than I can handle, so I'm stuck up here in North Dakota where it's cooler and drier and wetter. But wherever I go, I just have a chance to preach and teach about the risen Savior through Paul and the King James Bible, rightly divided. And there's so much more to come still. We pretty much have July and August booked up financially. We'll keep the program going through the month of August. We hope we can keep it going. I hope to hear from some folks. I hope to hear some of your questions, some of your concerns, some of your challenges. I'm sure they'll be coming if anybody's listening out there. Tell your pastor about the program. And I've had so many people talk to me and say, oh, man, this is just fantastic stuff. I've never heard it like this before. I can't wait to talk to my pastor. And then I never hear from him again. I know all the things the pastors preach and teach about. I've got a tract out there and a sermon that talks why pastors won't preach about Paul. And we'll maybe talk about that someday. But anyway, y'all have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.